This is Girl with a Podcast. My life basically revolves around watching Bravo and drinking alcohol. I'm the modern day Bridget Jones if she was Jewish and not annoying. No, seriously, if sitting on your couch was an Olympic sport, I would win gold. Hey, yo, what up, what up? It's Girl with No Job. This is episode 5 of Girl with a Podcast. Thank you for being here. It's been such a crazy ride. I'm loving this podcast, having the best time. So glad you guys are here, and we have an amazing episode for you today, like truly amazing. And when I say we, I mean me, because I am the heart and soul of this fucking podcast, and I'm not going to let someone else take credit for it. I don't know. That was really aggressive. Sorry. Hi, welcome. I'm so happy everyone's here and loving the podcast. We have a very, very great episode today. Lots going on. We are obviously going to talk about The Bachelor, Real Housewives. Maybe we'll talk about Pump Rules. We're going to jump into all the regular stuff, but I really want to give my thoughts on the Super Bowl because it was so crazy. Like, I have so many thoughts. I'm really not into sports, but I have a lot of thoughts about, like, Tom Brady, a lot of thoughts about, like, the teams. Obviously, I have a million thoughts about Gaga, and I'm just going to jump right in, just starting there about Gaga. She was so sensational, so amazing, so inspiring. Her performance was unreal, except she missed a lot of songs that, like, I like. Like, why didn't she sing You and I? Because it's literally the greatest song. Should I sing it? Okay, fine. It's been a long time since you came around. Been a long time, but I'm back in town. This time I'm not leaving without you. Okay, if you're still here, I'm really sorry. Every time I sing on, like, a Facebook Live or an Instagram Live, like, the amount of people watching drops by the hundreds. So I appreciate you all sticking with me during that horrible solo. Back to Gaga. She was unreal. Her bodysuit was amazing. Her sparkly undies, I could die for. But I'm just so upset at, like, America, because I'm not even making this up, read an article that said proof that Lady Gaga's halftime show was political. Now, I first just want to say it wasn't. Like, I watched the whole thing and didn't even think about what's going on in the world, which was lovely because there's so much shit going on in the world. Second, why does it have to be? Like, everyone was like, either people who thought it was political, it wasn't. People who didn't think it was political were upset. Like, why does it have to be political? It's sports. It's the one thing that's, like, sacred from all the shit in the world. It was just so frustrating that, like, people were either saying, it definitely was, here's proof, or people were saying, I can't believe it wasn't. Like, what's the big fucking deal? Can't we all just come together as a country and unite over Lady Gaga's sparkly bodysuit and underwear set? Like, why must it be political? The second thought that I have is about Tom Brady. Like, he's literally so hot, and I just can't believe that he's married to Giselle. Like, Giselle made an honest woman out of Tom Brady. Like, isn't that crazy? I just think it's wild how, like, I'm just sitting here talking about Tom Brady and he's casually married to Giselle and they live in, like, in a compound in New England with, like, 100 kids. I just think it's so American. I just love it. And the third thing I have to say that I learned last night is that football is so unfair. And here's why. So what I'm learning is that when a football game goes into overtime, they flip a coin for whose ball it is, and then it's the first person who scores a point wins. And, like, that seems unfair because, like, they flipped the coin, Tom Brady got it, and then he scored, obviously, because he got the ball. Shouldn't it be that both teams get an equal chance at scoring? Like, this is America. So I just thought that was, like, weirdly unfair. And who should I talk to about that? Like, the commissioner? I just want to talk to someone about changing it because it seems really, really not fair. When sports are all about, like, being fair. Isn't, like, the number one rule in sports is, like, play fair, be nice? I just thought that was kind of bizarre. And then my final thought is, while I'm super happy for Tom Brady and Giselle, I kind of feel like they did not deserve to win. Like, the whole time, the red team, that's, I think, the Atlanta team, they just played better. Like, they were catching better, throwing better, pushing better. Like, they were just better. And I'm not really sure what happened because I was on my phone for most of the game, but Tom Brady just, like, pulled through and won. And I was just confused as to how that happened because it didn't seem right. Like, the whole time the other team was playing better. So how's that possible? I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but those are my thoughts on the Super Bowl. I want to hear, oh, actually, I have one more thought. The food. Oh my God, I ate so much. I'm literally in a coma still. And I was so hungover from the night before. So I was feeling a million emotions. Like, I was nauseous, like, probably going to throw up from drinking so much the night before. But there was so much food in front of me that, like, I had to eat it. The more I ate, the more nauseous I get. But my subconscious was like, eat, Claudia, eat. Did anyone else deal with that sort of dilemma? It was actually really difficult for me. Like, it was a really difficult night. Sports are fun, aren't they?
Coming up on the most dramatic episode in Bachelor history.
You know what, Chris Harrison? For the first time in Bachelor history, you are right. This was one of the most dramatic episodes in Bachelor history. It was crazy. So much happened. So many people went home. I think literally 50% of the women went home, which I love. I love a bachelor or bachelorette who knows what they want, and they just send people home left and right. I think it's great. The beginning of the episode was, though, a little bit of a disappointment. I thought Taylor would throw much bigger of a bitch fit about her being sent home over Corinne, but she kind of, like, came back for no reason. She came back, said that Corinne lied, and, like, that was it. She didn't, like, I don't know. I just don't really feel like she got anything out of that conversation with Nick. She probably should have went home. She saved herself, like, a three-hour drive back from the swamp because a native of New Orleans messaged me and told me that the swamp where they went is literally a three-hour drive from, like, Bourbon Street where they were staying at the Marriott. So, should have just gone home. You saved yourself a whole lot of time. But I wasn't really that interested in, for the first time in Bachelor history this season, the entire episode wasn't about Corinne, which was actually a refreshing, I got to know some of the other girls. It was refreshing. I enjoyed it, even though I definitely missed her. She'll be back. I have absolutely no fears about Corinne. Then we cut back to all the other ladies and Nick cancels a cocktail party, which I absolutely love because, I don't know, it's just you cut the bullshit, send everyone home and move on with the episode. I just find it really wonderful. Caitlin used to do that all the time and I just loved it. Few things I have to say about the rose ceremony. I will truly, deeply, emotionally, and spiritually miss Alexis, the dolphin trainer. I thought she brought a real pizzazz to the show. She was hilarious, really cute and pretty. Like, she had absolutely no connection with Nick. I don't think they ever even kissed. But I enjoyed her as, like, a caricature. Second, very pleased that Jamie went home and Josephine. Neither of them had more than a two-minute conversation with Nick. I have no clue how they made it so far. I'm super pleased that they are gone. But what I'm not pleased about is Nick calling the last rose to Whitney. First, I thought she was Astrid, and then I'm like, Astrid went home. I was so confused. She's so generic looking. Like, she looks like every girl I've ever met at a sorority house, you know? I wasn't even sure how she made it this far, let alone got the rose over Alexis. I think Alexis really deserved it. Just from, like, an entertainment standpoint, I think it would have been a better episode if Alexis was on it. And I just literally remember my jaw dropping when Whitney got the final rose, but I guess it's not my decision to make, and I understand that, even though it's difficult for me to process, and we move on with the episode. Now, what happened next is probably my favorite moment ever in Bachelor history. Christina, who is, I think she's Russian, she gets the one-on-one, and that, like, starts, Jasmine, like, starts to unravel there, but we'll get to her later, because Christina's one-on-one is probably the greatest moment in TV history. She basically, every time someone goes on a one-on-one, they, like, tell their story. Like, someone's fiance died, someone overdosed, Raven beat the shit out of her ex-boyfriend. And Christina was basically raised in an orphanage in Russia. She was adopted when she was 12. Her parents left her in a house. And I just thought, like, it was a really, really, really sad story. And she explained how, like, she was in an orphanage for so long and then got adopted and had guilt because she left behind all her brothers and sisters in the orphanage. And it truly was so sad. But I couldn't feel proper sadness because I thought it was really bizarre that she shared the anecdote that she ate lipstick. Like, I guess she was just trying to emphasize, like, how poor she was, how her family, like, left her in a house and there was nothing to eat, so she ate lipstick. But I just, like, thought that was so weird. And I know everyone's gonna make fun of me for being a bitch and, like, say I'm nasty and rude, but I don't care. It was so funny. Like, I was trying to, like, be sad, but I just, my mind kept going to, like, the eating lipstick part of it all. Like, I don't know if anyone else thought that was as weird as I did, but I definitely thought it was weird. And I know it was definitely inappropriate of me to laugh so hard, but I'm really sorry that I'm not that sorry. Her date wasn't that interesting. The only thing I learned about her is that she eats lipstick, which I'm definitely going to try. It made me like her. She obviously got the rose because you can't tell someone you ate lipstick as a kid and then them not give you the rose. So I totally understand Nick doing that. And she's cute. She'll be around for a little while. She's definitely not going to win because they have like a language barrier. They can't even communicate. I didn't even know what she was saying half the time. Maybe she didn't say lipstick. Maybe she said like linguine. I don't know. Whatever. It was a really bizarre date. And I was really happy when it was over because I didn't, like, why was The Bachelor making me feel sad? This is like a funny show that, like, we're supposed to watch people fall in love and watch people be assholes. Like, why am I crying? I just thought it was like a weird a weird thing for the producers to do. So this whack-ass group date was coming at a really good time. Like, we were fresh off the heels of a really awkward, sad date with Christina. So we get a really A-list bunch. We get Rachel, Raven, Vanessa, Corinne, Danielle M, and of course, Jasmine, who's literally 10 minutes from a complete and utter mental breakdown. They have like a fun day. Like they're in St. Thomas, by the way, I forgot to mention that. If I like was on The Bachelor, I would so appreciate like a beach day where we're just drinking tequila and fucking around. So I don't understand how the group date took the most dark and like evil turn. Every girl was literally on the verge of a breakdown. Like even ones that are strong. Like Vanessa is clearly a front runner. I don't know what the hell she has to worry about. She's literally sitting hysterically crying. Jasmine, the breakdown has already begun. She's shoving girls, choking people. She doesn't stop drinking. She's being so fucking nuts that I'm just beyond confused. Like, where did this nuts come from? And I was thinking to myself, like, this doesn't make sense chronologically. Like, there were missing pieces, and I actually found out a really juicy piece of behind-the-scenes information that I'm going to share with you. So the first is that when Jasmine got cut by Nick, she went off on him, freaking out, telling Nick that she slept with one of his friends, and they completely cut that out. Nick actually wanted to send her home earlier, but the producers wouldn't let him. So she was like a nut job and a nutcase for a while, but we didn't find out any of this until this episode, which just didn't make a lot of sense for the narrative, like for the whole story. It just didn't make complete, like continuous sense. And the second thing that I find really interesting is in the volleyball game, the winning team was actually supposed to get like more quality time with Nick once they won. And the winning team was Rachel, Raven, and Corinne, which is like a really good group. But once the other team lost, Vanessa started to cry because she wasn't getting enough attention from Nick, blah, blah, blah. And the whole thing unraveled. Everyone unraveled because Vanessa unraveled. So I thought she was like cool and smart and a teacher and like had her shit together, but she's crying because she lost a fucking volleyball game. Chill the fuck out. You're a front runner. Like, you're probably gonna win. Why are you such a baby? Like, I don't know. I thought that was weird and interesting that they didn't show that. Like, why do they want us to like Vanessa so much, you know? And then finally, like, we've been waiting for Jasmine's breakdown all episode. Like, they've been hinting towards it. But after the volleyball date, like, it's finally the moment comes to life where she just unravels. Like, she's choking him. Like, I don't really know what she was trying to get out of that conversation. Like, the entire time she was complaining that he was talking to everyone else. So she finally gets a moment with Nick and she wants to choke him. Like, that just seems like a bizarre thing to do. Don't you agree? Like, the entire episode, we've been waiting, waiting, waiting. She wants her time with Nick. Every girl gets up to go talk with Nick. She's complaining, complaining, complaining. And she finally gets her time and she wastes it. She puts her fucking hands around his neck. Like, of course he sends her home. Like, she's clearly mentally unstable. She's been hiding it really well the entire time. So I don't really understand how she got this far. Now, before I dive into the two-on-one, I really want to talk about one amazing moment that happened. And that was when the girls who weren't on the date got like a housekeeper / nanny to just come to their hotel and like wait on them, which is completely like not politically correct, but I know why they did it. They did it for Corinne, and I love Corinne because she played into what the viewers wanted. She gave us what she wanted. She had the girl waiting on her hand and foot. It was fucking hilarious. And like, I know that this episode wasn't really about Corinne, but she still managed to surprise me and make me feel happy. So that's why I'm a big Corinne fan. But back to the two-on-one. It was so obvious that Whitney was going to be the one sent home because that's a classic Bachelor producer tactic. They, like, introduce us to a girl who we didn't even realize was still on the show. We, like, get acquainted with her, we get to know her, and then they send her home. So it was very obvious that Whitney was going to be the one sent home from the two-on-one, but what I did not see coming was him sending both girls home, which was so sad for Danielle L, because if you're on a two-on-one and the other girl gets sent home, you're, like, 99% sure that you're in the clear. So she thought she was going on a date where they were going to look into each other's eyes. She thought she was totally in the clear. There was no chance of her being sent home. But she got axed, which I thought was surprising. I thought she would definitely make it to hometowns. From day one, I thought she was a really strong contestant. She's really pretty. I think they had like a good foundation. And I think it's like, I happen to like when a bachelor or bachelorette like sends a lot of people home. Like, they know what they want. Caitlyn used to do that all the time. She wasn't interested in someone in the middle of the day. She'd be like, you have to go home, which is good. It's nice for the viewer. Like, we cut to the chase. I don't see Nick as that type of guy. I'm not really sure what his angle is as like sending everyone home and then going into the girls' hotel room, which by the way, is fucking rude. They don't think they're going to be on camera. They're not wearing makeup. They all look like shit. Don't go in their room. That's disrespectful. Have them meet you in your room. Who the hell do you think you are, barging into a woman's quarters? But he goes in there just to tell them that like, he doesn't feel strongly with any of them. Like, what are they all supposed to do? Like, they literally all put their lives on hold for, like, months just to try dating him. And he comes in and says he doesn't think it's working. Like, be less grateful, more selfish, you motherfucker. So there you have it. We're getting closer and closer to the end, which means we're getting closer and closer to the prospect of a new bachelorette or a new bachelor, which I just cannot wait to be done with Nick. He's ruining my life. Another juicy inside scoop for you is Mike Fleiss, who's the producer of The Bachelor, has been tweeting that they're going to make a very historic announcement about The Bachelor in the coming days. So that's pretty obvious. That means Rachel's going to be the first Black Bachelorette, which I think we're all ready for. So there's some sunshine out of this dark gray cloud that is Nick Viall, putting the Viall in Viall since 1984, whenever the fuck he was born. Wow, what a good episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We deserve this. Like, we truly needed this. But before I dive in, I have two big pieces of news in Real Housewives world. First is that, like I said in last week's podcast that I called, Lydia will be returning to Real Housewives of Orange County. If you don't remember her, you're not alone because she didn't say much. And basically all she said was that calling someone too skinny is similar to calling someone too fat and neither are acceptable. Where I totally fucking disagree, but that's a whole other podcast. Second piece of really big news is that Danielle Staub is returning to Real Housewives of New Jersey. They seriously need it. That show needs a facelift. Last season was so boring. And I just cannot wait for Danielle Staub to come back in, flip some fucking tables. It's going to be so good. So Lydia, Danielle Staub, top notch. Really good call, Andy. Good call, Bravo execs. I'm proud of you. First thing that I really want to talk about from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is, I know I've said a bunch of times that Eileen is really working her way back into my heart, and she is. She's been so much better. She's VIP Most Improved Housewife, but if I have to sit in on another one of her fucking depressing therapist sessions, like, I'm going to off myself. Like, people watch TV to get away from the grief that they feel. Like, everyone is going through shit. Nobody is turning on Bravo to watch Eileen go through her shit. It's boring. I'm sorry. I really like you, Eileen, but I'm completely disinterested in the inner workings of your mind. And if you could save those sessions for some off-camera time, the audience, including myself, would be greatly, greatly appreciative. Okay, next let's jump to Lisa Rinna, who's in New York with her daughter, Delilah Bell, who I personally love. She's gorgeous, but I feel obliged to say nice things about her because she follows me on Instagram. Keep going, girl. She's pretty. She's really pretty. I'm happy for her and her show. I think it's really weird, honestly, that Gigi would, like, cast Delilah Bell in her show after what Delilah's mom said about her mom. Just seems like if it was my show and I was being given a runway, the last person I would invite to walk in the show would be my mom's enemy's daughter. I don't know. Maybe I'm just pettier than Gigi. Maybe she's moved past it. I was a little upset that they didn't film at the runway show. I thought that I would get, like, an inside scoop and maybe we'd get to see, like, Gigi hugging Delilah. I don't know. I just wanted to see more. I thought it was really funny, actually, that Camille and Lisa Rinna went to lunch together because I just thought that, like, Camille comparing her 14-year-old daughter modeling in, like, someone's garage to Delilah Bell modeling in Tommy Hilfiger, or as Lisa Rinna calls it, Tommy Hilfiger, was just funny. Like, the two aren't the same. Your daughter is 14, Camille. Like, stop whoring her out. Let her have a normal life where her dad is Frasier and we can all move on with our life. But if we're being honest, I was so uninterested in seeing what was happening in New York with Lisa Rinna and in California with Eileen because I was loving watching the ladies in Mexico. I happen to really like this group of women. I think they all get along really well. But I'm surprised that Lisa Vanderpump isn't more jealous of the budding friendship between Erica Jane and Kyle. I think that they're becoming, like, best friends, and I'm loving watching it. They went to Mykonos together. They went jet skiing together. I don't know. I don't think Lisa Vanderpump can keep up with them from, like, an energy standpoint, a stamina standpoint. So I feel like that's going to be something that happens later on. She's definitely going to get jealous. But I really liked the women. I thought everyone was getting along so well. I thought the house was so cute. It literally reminded me of Bachelor in Paradise because, like, everyone's just, like, getting drunk, eating on the beach, and the house looks like exactly the house from Bachelor in Paradise. But that's where my mind was going. I'm not looking forward to the other ladies coming because drama's going to come in for once. Like, everyone was just enjoying this beautiful house, this beautiful vacation with their husbands, and I didn't even mind Dorit, which I felt myself, like, taking a liking towards her when they showed her and her kids at lunch. I thought that was cute. But then at the end of the episode, they show previews for the rest of the season, which, by the way, looks unreal. And of course, Dorit comes for my girl Erica Jane again, so I was reminded that I have to hate her. But in the moment, I was enjoying her. Erica's looks in Mexico were beyond. Her airplane outfit was a 10. Her jet skiing, like wetsuit bikini thing was unreal, except that red dress that she wore with the weird braids. I wasn't loving it, but everyone's allowed to make mistakes. She's been killing it. And I just love her two cents. When we find out that, you know, Lisa Rinna was the one behind saying all these things about Kim and Kyle, that she said Kyle's an enabler, she said Kim's near death. Obviously, Lisa Rinna started all this, and Eden is just like the poor, innocent, whatever. I just love how Erica's two cents are just so brilliant. She says one thing, and it's just like, you know, you don't know. Like, she's just like, she brings so much morale and, like, gravity to the show. I could watch her own spinoff. I could watch it for days. Like I said, it was a good episode. Nothing really happened. They kind of built it up. Like, when Lisa Rinna arrived at the house, I was so ready for Kyle to lay into her, and then the episode ended. So, what's that about? I needed more. Next week looks really good. The entire season actually looks really good. Hong Kong looks like it's going to be fucking lit. Like, what the hell is Erica Jane crying about? I love when in the previews they go, Eden was like to Lisa Rinna, I gave you a piece of my heart, you bitch. That is like so fucking Housewives. Like, I just love it. So yes, it was a good episode. Nothing really happened, but it was just like, I liked watching everyone get along. It's so rare. It was good. It was really good. It set up a lot of good things to come. So I'm pleased. I'm ready. I'm good to go. Alrighty, next up, I have a very, very, very special guest. He has not been a guest on my podcast yet, which I find surprising. I'm really sorry. Everyone's been asking for him to come. And ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Boy with No Job. Hello, Mr. Boy with No Job.
Hello, Mr. Girl with No Job. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast that takes place in our apartment. I can't believe I haven't been on it before, considering I live here.
I love you very much. You have something between your teeth, but it's okay. We'll move on. Okay. Let me get it out, actually. Come here.
We'll move on.
Okay, I got it. So everyone is going to get to know you a little bit better, but the real reason I brought you on here is because I want to play a game with you.
Okay.
But let's just introduce for everyone who doesn't know. Who are you? What's your name? Who are you to me?
My name is Ben. I am Claudia's lesbian lover. I was born a woman and am now a man.
Tell them seriously.
My name is Ben. I am Claudia's fiance.
Woohoo!
I am a man. I was born a man. You can look at my chest hair.
We'll see. It's still up in the air.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not sure.
So we're going to play a newlywed game, even though we're not married. I just want to see, like, how well do you know me? Okay?
Yep.
First question. Simple. Very simple. Mm-hmm. What color is my toothbrush?
Your toothbrush is purple.
Very good. And why do you know that? Because you use my toothbrush all the time. No,
mine is green and it's right next to mine.
Okay. What was the breed of my childhood pet?
A King Charles Cavalier.
Oh my God, I'm so impressed.
Now let me tell the world why I know that.
Why?
All that I want to do is get a big, beautiful dog. Maybe a golden retriever. Claudia is limiting me on the type of dog. She said I can only have a King Charles Cavalier.
You're the cutest.
I want a big, fluffy golden retriever.
What was the last book that I read?
Bitch can't read.
Come on, no, seriously. Think about it.
The last book that you read. Oh, Andy Cohen.
Very good. Very good. What is my most irritating habit?
Your most irritating habit is that if I leave even a towel on the chair, I get yelled at.
That's honestly, it's true.
You're a neat freak.
Oh, I would love to hear your response to this. Who takes longer to get dressed, you or your spouse?
I get longer to physically get dressed, but if you include makeup, you take longer.
Yeah, but I always like a good amount of time. If I know I have to leave at 8, I'll start getting ready at like 6:45. If you know you have to leave at 8, you start getting dressed at 8:05.
The question was not who's better at time management. The question was who takes longer to get dressed.
Okay, when I was 13 years old, what did I want to be when I grew up?
A stripper.
Very true, and I'm so glad to be living out my dreams.
Yes.
Okay, who do you think has a smarter IQ? Me or you?
You. And that's why I have a smarter IQ.
If I could be anyone dead or alive, who would I be?
Joan Rivers.
Wow, I'm so beyond impressed.
You would not get this right for me.
No, I was just
going to say, anything about me.
I know absolutely nothing about you. Let's swap the questions, okay?
Okay.
Who do you talk to most on the phone?
It's pretty simple.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like besides me.
Wait, did I need to give you a hint?
No. Besides me. Which one of, like, your friends? Honestly, you text your dad a lot. Lame.
A ton.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
Okay.
Aside from my mom. My mom's really my favorite.
This is a good one. When I say, honey, they're playing our song, what song are they playing?
Are you asking me or are you answering? Oh, so you don't want to answer any questions
about me anymore? No, I'm asking you.
Why? Because you're nervous that you won't get them any of them right? Because you don't know me at all? Honey, our song. We have a couple. If you're going the James Taylor route, we have Sweet Baby James.
That's our song.
We also have Fire and Rain.
No, that's not our song.
James Taylor in general is our
guy.
No,
it's not. Just that one song.
James Taylor's our guy.
And what's our other song?
And A Thousand Years from Twilight.
It's totally our song.
It's the first time that we ever ate a sandwich together.
It was honestly love at first sight from there.
It was a panini.
What was inside of it again?
Not chicken. I keep kosher.
Okay, so what was the breed of your what was the breed and name of your childhood pet? I remember you telling me that you had a dog that used to sleep underneath your crib. I have absolutely no clue what type of dog it was or what the name was. Was it Snoopy? Poodle?
Snoopy? That's not a real dog.
What is it? What was the dog's name?
It was a Yorkie, and his name was Carrot.
Carrot? Was that supposed to shape some sort of lifestyle you were going to have, but obviously didn't?
Clearly not.
Okay, wait, I'm looking for more questions. What is Ben's favorite comfort food? Cheese. Right?
I like cheese.
I love cheese. Actually, no, I
don't. You don't like cheese at all. I don't know why I said that. You've never eaten cheese before in your life.
I actually really don't like cheese.
Like you like pizza. Pizza cheese.
This is such a good question. I'm very excited to ask. What percentage of housework and chores would you say you contribute to the house?
Very little.
No, like give me a percentage.
I think I contribute 12%.
How? What do you do that could... What? What? What constitutes 12%? Seriously.
Well, for starters, I cook you chicken all the time.
Okay, all the time? Like maybe once a week?
How often do you cook me chicken?
If you only knew how much I do, like when you're gone, I literally sweep, I mop, I dust, I fold, I organize, I scrub, like I wipe. You literally cook chicken and want 12% of what I do.
So what do you think? 1%?
I was going to say 3 or 4.
Okay, that's fine.
Do you feel good about that? Leaving your poor fiancé to scrub up and wipe up your dirty undies?
You don't clean up my dirty undies. My dirty undies I put away. I've been very good.
You have. Ever since we moved in together,
I'm not very messy. That's the truth.
That's what you think.
Can tell everybody that you are OCD.
I'm not OCD. Need to clean. Fuck you. Okay, we're going to play more games. I'm going to get to know Ben. What is the groom? You are the groom. What is the groom? What is the groom's favorite sport team? Knicks, right?
100%.
Okay. What favorite item of clothing do you wear all the time? Fucking that one pair of black jeans with the hole in the crotch?
Not anymore. I threw those away. Now I have a new pair of black jeans, but fun fact about me, I can go at least 2 weeks wearing the same exact pair of jeans without washing them.
I feel like black jeans are to boys as to what black leggings are to girls. Like, except I wash them like every 2 days.
But if you get your black jeans stained, no one will know because it's black.
Oh, this is a good question for you. Mm-hmm. What was the last movie we watched together?
The last movie we watched together was La La Land in theaters. Now, with Ryan Reynolds.
That's not what we watched.
Is it even Ryan Reynolds?
No, Ryan Gosling. Yeah. Such a discrepancy. What was the last movie we watched? Seriously, that wasn't it. We watch movies all the time.
We don't watch whole movies all the time.
That's true. I get bored.
That was the last movie we watched in whole.
Really? We gotta get out more.
Totally.
Totally. What is your dream career? Not having one. What is your favorite non-alcoholic beverage? Let's say for both of us. I know what mine is. I don't know what yours is.
What do you mean? It's obviously 1, 2, 3. Diet Coke.
I was going to say Fresca.
What's wrong with
you? No, Fresca's really taking like a turn for me. Like it's changing my life. I have a Fresca when I wake up in the morning.
Okay. I don't even know who you are.
No, I know. It really gets Diet Coke, but I didn't know that was your favorite. You love a Shirley Temple.
It's not my favorite drink. I think honestly Diet Peach Snapple.
Yeah, peach.
Yeah, I know. She so likes fruity. Raspberry. What a freak.
So fruity.
Yeah, I'm fruity.
Okay, before we go, what is my favorite movie of all time and what is your favorite movie of all time?
Your favorite
Wait, movie? Let me guess.
Okay, fine.
You let's guess. Okay, on the count of three, let's both say yours.
Hang on, wait. Let me think about it.
So I think I know what yours is. I really hope I'm right.
Don't do it on the count of three yet.
Oh, shit. I feel like you have two.
Hmm. Okay.
Ready? One, three, two, one. Dark Knight Rises. The Batman one, is that it?
I love that movie.
Is it Space Jam?
It's a great trilogy. No, the Batman's fantastic. No, I love that one.
What's your favorite movie?
I think that's my favorite movie.
Space Jam or Dark Knight Rises?
No, I love the Batman trilogy.
You know what's so funny, which really indicates what type of person I am? Those are your two favorite movies, and I refuse to watch either of them.
Yeah.
I've never seen Space Jam, and I've never seen Dark Knight Rises.
Ever. I was trying to think of what movie is your favorite, but really, I don't know.
You don't know? Yes, you do. Come on.
You like a lot of movies. You like a lot of Reese Witherspoon.
Okay, close.
So maybe Legally Blonde?
No. Same genre as my favorite movie. I'll give you a clue.
The one with Mandy Moore?
Which one with
Mandy Moore? And the old bitch.
Who is that? What movie is that?
Mandy Moore, old bitch. Mandy Moore can't find a husband. Old bitch is really annoying. She's also in Something's Gotta Give with Jack Nicholson.
Oh, Because I Said So. No, but that is a really good movie, and I love you for knowing that. Mm. But I have two favorite movies.
Ooh, The Godfather?
Okay, no. You're getting off track. You're getting off track, seriously. Let me tell you.
The two girls that go to the wedding.
What?
Of the guy that they met.
Oh, The Sweetest Thing. Oh my God, you're so cute that you know that. That is a really good movie, but no. I'll give you a clue to the first movie, okay?
Okay.
A Piece for Gretchen Wieners.
Okay. Mean Girls.
Okay.
I'm wearing Mean Girls socks.
You are? Someone sent them to us and they only fit Ben. Okay, now for my second favorite movie. Give you a clue. I don't know how you would know this. Okay, let's see. You're definitely not gonna know what this is, but As If.
Clueless.
Oh my God. I'm so proud of you. I love you.
You underestimate me.
I did. Everyone, thanks to Ben for coming on. Loved having you. This is funny because we were saying during the commercial break that this is like the most we've spoken to each other in like 6 years because we're always on our phone, but we just sat down for like 15 minutes and like looked each other straight in the eyes and like talked.
So do you think that we should do 2 weekly podcasts, one on Wednesdays where you have everybody, and one on Tuesdays where it's just me?
Hey, listen, you fucking leech. Get your own podcast and kiss my ass.
Should I get my own podcast?
I love you.
Comment below.
Give me a kiss. Love you.
Love you.
Mwah. Aww.
All right, well, that wraps up this week's episode of Girl with a Podcast. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. Follow me on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and Twitter at Girl with No Job. And always, please feel free to tweet me or email me if you have any critiques of the podcast. Actually, fuck that. Don't fucking text me if you have critiques. If you want me to do stuff that I'm not doing, please let me know. Love you all so much. Have a blessed week, and may Lady Gaga be with you.